is worse than no knowledge. All right? And in all of theirs, they stopped the Illuminati at the Rockefellers. They always are after David and Nelson and these type of people as the leaders of the Illuminati. They're not. Second, they also say that the Illuminati, and it's in many books, and I can prove it, and in many tapes, that the Illuminati is a Zionist conspiracy. And it is not a Zionist conspiracy. The learned elders of Zion are the synagogue of Satan, that were Jews that believed that Lucifer was the true God, okay, existed before the Illuminati, and the Illuminati came, you know, used their teachings to start the Illuminati, all right? But they're not Zionists. In fact, most of their leaders are Gaelic. The Rothschilds are Zionists by birth, but they quit believing in Yahweh hundreds of years ago. And Weishaupt had already left the Jewish church, had been a Catholic and a Satanist before the Illuminati was formed, and on. And they tried to make the Rockefellers and everybody at one time a Jew, and everybody's changed their names to hide they're a Jew, and all the Jews are the evil people, and they lead the Illuminati. Well, I have news for them. I sit on the Council of 13 that runs that organization, and my family's never been a Jew. They're all from Scotland. So something's wrong in the translation somewhere. And I cannot believe that a member of the Council of 33, the second highest council within the Illuminati, can run an organization that exposes the Illuminati. It just doesn't make sense. And the other strongest thing, we'll let that one go. That's a little too strong for anybody around here. But all I can say is that the Birch Society is like the Masons. Now, I'm going to hit another group here. You're not going to like it. We've got some people here, but hear me out before you all want to lynch me at one time. It's like the Charismatics. And that's because the people, the little people, it's just like, okay, like the coal miners and like the farmer strike and like the Teamsters. You've got the people in it below who do not know who its leaders are. Okay? Now, where I sat, I had to hand money to people. Okay? And when I come out, people wonder, why are you mad at these people? These people are good men of God. Why are you mad at them? How would you feel if you had to take millions of dollars in checks and currency and dispose it to these people to do things for the Illuminati? Would you respect them as Christians? That's the idea. Too much money went into the Birch Society from the Illuminati for me to believe that it's an instrument against the Illuminati. Okay? I saw $35 million in 2 years go into the charismatic movement to build the four biggest churches in the United States that lead it, plus the full gospel businessmen. I saw $20 million given to Demos Securian one night. I can't accept it. Okay?
I'm not a member of the John Birch Society, nor a defender, nor a speaker of the Society. I would say correctly say, because I have contact with the documented, he was not all the way through Rockefeller. Okay, well, let me cut you off a minute. I wasn't going to give it, but I'm going to go ahead and give it.
Some of its biggest people, like the man you mentioned and Gary Allen, have both stood up and just literally ripped, by name, the Baptist Fundamental Church apart. And have you ever seen the blue book of the Birch Society? No Christian can read that book and say that book is a Christian book. All right? And I've heard them stand up and say they're fools in the fundamental church. Okay? No, I cannot. And anyway, so let's pass over that one. I hit that. I also hit a dozen other things at once. I'm going to get lynched by three different groups before I get out of here.
Brother Todd, let me inject something, please. Yeah. Let's hold our questions to one per person.
Yeah, really.
We've got about 400 folks in here tonight.
And everybody wants to ask a question. After what I just said about the charismatics, I know they're going to want to.
So let's limit them to one question.
What's a charismatic? Okay. A charismatic... let's put it this way. A charismatic movement, the charismatic movement to the outside people is the movement that declares the speaking of tongues. Okay? That is separate from the Pentecostal denominations and churches. Most people do not realize that the Pentecostal churches are not part of the charismatic movement. In fact, many of them oppose it. All right? The charismatic movement in reality was one of three steps declared back in 1964 to do two things.
while the main function was to destroy the fundamental church of any type. All right? The Masons was one, and the Charismatic Church was another, okay? And then the political maneuvers was the third. Now, most people, you know, they get caught up in the Charismatic movement, they don't stand back and watch it. It has two distinct signs where it goes. If it isn't a fundamental church, it splits it every time. I've never seen any fundamental evangelical church stay the same after it came there. And the other thing it does is it unites all the liberal churches. It has brought the Catholics, the Lutherans, and the Mormons, even the Mormons, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, Presbyterians, everybody together. Now, I'm going to make some quotations. See, I'm not a charismatic, I admit it. But I'm not a Baptist either, so don't say I'm saying it because I'm a Baptist. I'm against it. I'm against it for one reason. I was on the Council of 13 and had to pay too many millions of dollars out to that organization to accept that it be of God and its leaders, since I know most of its leaders by first name basis. They used the charismatic movement to establish Jesus Rock. I had to deliver a $4 million check that was the second $4 million check that Chuck Smith, that created Calvary Chapel and Maranatha Productions, received from the Illuminati. And he knew it was Illuminati money before you go out of here and say that he didn't. The purpose of it was to build Maranatha Industries and Productions, which started Jesus Rock. Back when the Christian church was preaching against rock music, not knowing why, but preaching against it just the same, and throwing it out the churches, that scared the Illuminati and the occult world to death. At that time, they almost thought their end had come. Because if that really happened within the Christian church would have the biggest mass revival of souls in the United States that this world has ever seen. That's the purpose for rock music, to make sure that that never takes place. Now, okay, let me finish all this, because it's long, before any hands come rushing up. When that took place, they got scared. So they got smart, they thought, and they built Jesus Rock. And you can take some of the top Jesus Rock songs, and you can play the same rock songs over here, and it's the very same tune with new words stuck in. Now, I want to give you a key that witches know about. Okay? The sign of the devil's music, or they say of Lucifer's music, is not the words. It's the music. The power is in the music. The sign of Christian music is not the music. It's the words. That's why one song written by a group will catch on and will bless Christians' hearts, and others won't. Have you ever wondered why the Gaithers are the number one group in the United States? It's not because they sing great, it's because the songs they write and the power in those songs. Now, I know from being in the occult world the power in music. And I'm saying all this because I was the leader of Zodiac. I was going to get on this, and I'm still taking care of yours at the same time. But somebody asked me about rock music, but I'll do it this way. The thing about rock music was I was the leader of Zodiac Productions, which is the conglomerate that owns almost all of the rock booking agencies and production of concerts in the United States. Almost 95% of the groups that you hear in concert belong to contract to Zodiac Productions. Most of the friends that I have that are still in the world are friends that I met in the rock industry, of people whose albums you buy today. Okay? The Illuminati doesn't produce rock music to entertain you. They don't produce rock music to make money. They don't need that money. They own everything anyway. They do it to put demonic influence in your life. The music is a spell, and every witch knows it. That's why when somebody's saved out of the occult, and they say, "As a saved pastor, what do I do?" The pastor will go, "Well, burn everything that has to do with the occult." That's all the pastor says. And they'll bring in their rock records. Nobody has to tell them to do it. They were in witchcraft. They know what rock music is. Now, kids, I'm going to get you with this. Parents, don't pray that your kids throw out the rock music. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to you.
Amen.
You are the head of the house, and although you think it belongs to them, according to God's word, everything in that house is yours.
Amen.
And you are the one that will face Jesus and say why you had it. The problem with Christians, particularly in a Baptist church, is that they don't realize that there's two judgments coming. One for the lost and one for the saved. And you will have to give account at the judgment seat of Christ for the things you didn't do and did do. You get it coming and going. So, if you think that you're keeping your kids from being rebellious by having the rock music in the home, have I got a surprise for you. They wouldn't be rebellious if you'd burn the stuff.
Amen.
So go home tonight and get rid of it. As I told the congregation last night, you can go home and count how many demons are in your home, or at least the minimum number, by how many rock albums and 45s your kids have. Now, we started out with charismatic somehow. Probably the strongest person in the charismatic movement is the man who led the charismatic conference in Kansas City. Now, charismatics, I'm not picking on you as individuals. I'm picking on your leaders in the movement itself. Just like I'm not picking on Masons, I'm picking on the leaders of the Masons. Now, it's funny. I can come in here and I can tear down Billy Graham and nobody will lynch me. Somebody might think I'm crazy, but they'll let me alone. But if I get in a charismatic church and I touch one of their people up here, they're ready to crucify me on a moment's notice. Now, I'm going to tell you this. The man who led that conference was a Catholic cardinal. But when they elected Pope Paul, lost by 2 votes. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Pope Paul's in critical condition. They're already talking about a new pope, and they're proclaiming him by a landslide, the leader of the Catholic charismatic movement, and, by the way, the leader of most of the charismatic movement. He said 5 years ago at the Notre Dame conference, it's a matter of public record, but they like to keep it from you, that give him 10 years, and he'll have all of the churches as one because of the charismatic movement. That's why the uniting of the liberal and the destruction of the fundamental. You'll never get the fundamental churches to unite as one. They can't stop arguing long enough to do it. Which I praise the Lord for. Keeps us on our toes. But they are getting the liberals. Now, most of you probably sitting here would not be in this meeting unless Jesus was your Savior. But I have talked to thousands of leaders in the charismatic movement who say it is not necessary to repent of your sins and be born again.
Yes,
Demos Securian, this is what Demos believes, head of the Full Gospel Movement. He does not believe that you need to repent. He does not believe in a rapture, and he does not believe in a tribulation. He believes that a one-world government is coming, which Christians will lead. He has said over and over, if you receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, and you belong to a church that is not preaching the Word of God, don't leave it. Stay there. Don't leave it. Now, I believe that the Word of God says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate.
Amen.
And I also believe that the same as when a prophet prophesies wrong one time, you mark him and leave him alone. If a man preaches false doctrine, you leave him alone.
Amen.
Of course, you can leave me alone if you think I'm wrong about the charismatic. That doesn't bother me a bit. My job is to tell you what's happening. And I'm going to tell you whether you like it or not. You yell for it. You praise the Lord when I'm telling the Masons. Keep on praising what I'm telling you. The second most powerful man, or third most powerful man, in the charismatic movement is Ralph Wilkerson. Ralph Wilkerson is the head. He is really the person who tells all the charismatic leaders. He's actually the number one, but he's supposed to be ranked third. He is the man who must appear before the Council of 13 to take back the orders to all the rest of the people in the charismatic movement. He is the pastor of a multi-million-dollar church called Melody Land, one of the largest independent charismatic Bible schools and universities in the country. And they gave that man so much, everything that is there, the Illuminati bought and built for him.
and him knowing it all the whole time. The reason that he preaches that witches can't be saved and can never be saved is he's so scared that some of us will blab on it. And you're right, I'm doing it too. Now if you think that everything else I say is great, then why would I lie about this particular? I have nothing to gain. I go into charismatic churches and say the same thing. I do. You think that's rough here? You ought to be there. My job, when I got saved, I told the Lord that everything that I knew the devil was doing now was going to let the world know. And man, I'm going to let them know whether you like it or not. Now, I told you the thing about it, and I can go on with more churches and more churches. The point is, you're going to have to question yourself about the thing. Okay? People are preaching a last day revival in the United States. The only last day revival we're going to get in the United States is the devil's. You may not like it, but the United States is just like Jeremiah. The United States is just like Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day. They were all waiting for God to save them when the prophet was telling them that God was going to let them be destroyed because of the sinful ways. And one of the things said, you went off under every tree and committed whoredom with every belief there was and worshipped all the pagan gods there was. That's America. The biggest, fastest growing religion in the United States is the occult, and that's a fact. We're not having a Christian revival. It really tickles me how we're supposed to have 2/3 of the population as born-again Christians. I understood that almost 75% of the United States were into witchcraft and the occult. Something wrong somewhere. People, something is terribly wrong. When we have a country that is so sold out to the devil and its way of life, and we have at the same time such supposedly mass revival of a Christian belief, something stinks somewhere. Now you're going to have to pray about it yourselves. But I'm telling you for a fact, you better question them. You better question what you're into and the little groups. And this, I don't know if the charismatics know it here, but see, I get all the charismatic books and read them and all the teachings, and I know what's taught by this leader and that. It's funny, they'll say one place, something someplace, and something different someplace else, and so on. I don't know if they ever know what they're saying. And they're really recommending that you not go to church. Most of them are teaching. Bob Mumford, Prince, and Basham, and others are preaching stop going to church. To go home and hold your own individual prayer meetings in your house, and don't go to church anymore. I'm sorry, that's not in the Word of God.
Amen.
There'll be a day where you won't be able to go to church, but while you can, do it.
Amen.
That day has not come yet, and your home won't be safe when it comes either. Okay, I took the longest on it, but go ahead. Try to get these others.
This card that you were talking about with that symbol on it, now, we don't have a choice. We've got to take it in order to...
Whoa. Let's back up a minute here. The Bible says that if you take it, you're lost.
Okay, so this is the mark.
This is the mark. If you're waiting for a tattoo, I've heard Christians say, well, I'll take the card till the tattoo comes. Let's go about that tattoo for a minute. It says that an angel of the Lord is going to come down and seal God's people in the forehead and hand. Now, does that mean we're going to rock around with a tattoo? If it's spiritual there, it's spiritual when we're sealed in the forehead and the hand with the mark of the beast. Now, I want to tell you something. The forehead means the mind, and the hand means the works. It always has in Bible prophecy, and it always will. There's something strange. We'll go over to Ezekiel. We'll go over to Isaiah. We'll go over to all the other prophets. And we'll read their prophecies in Daniel, and we'll say, oh, praise the Lord. You know, that means this, and that means this, and so on. We know that the dry bones meant something, and the wheel within the wheel meant something, and the statue with the 10 toes meant something. But we'll go over to Revelations, and we'll say, well, of course, the Antichrist is not going to be a dragon with 10 heads and or 7 heads and 10 horns and so on and so forth. We don't really believe he's going to be that. And we'll call that spiritual. But we'll go over here and call something else physical. What makes Revelations different from the rest of the prophecy books? I thought it was the same God giving the prophecy. You can't do it that way. No, when this card comes, you take it. You've made your stand. As for me
and my family, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And you can't do both. So you're going to have to go home and ask yourself what you're going to do when you can't go to the grocery store. It's not established. They don't put a sign and say, here we are. Yeah. No, the witchcraft on the post is undercover. Totally. But it's not so undercover that most people on the base don't know it exists. Okay? Yeah. Uh-huh. Right here.
You mentioned in your tape that you recorded before, some man asked a question, and I think it was Jimmy Carter the man mentioned in the sixth letter as being the son of Lucifer?
He's Adam. He's Adam. Uh-huh. Right here, the best. Oh.
He said in the other tape that there was different reasons for playing last interview. Different churches, and it was to incite men to indoctrinate or get false doctrine or promises against the church. How can you as a Christian, and you'll never illuminate, you'll never enlarge upon that, except what those points that were rejected?
Okay.
Except the rock music.
Well, I can say the others. Okay. Melanie Land teaches that witches can never be saved, or anybody that ever practiced in the occult. Well, we got a lot of lost people here tonight because a lot of people read their astrology charts. Ralph Wilkerson is teaching that there is no rapture, that the church will either go through the tribulation or there'll be no tribulation. He hasn't quite made up his mind yet. I want to think about these because I want to make sure I word them the way that he worded them. Okay? The Old Testament is not the ordained word of God that Lucifer inspired it, and that the Ten Commandments were not written by God or delivered by God to Moses, that Moses was fooled and the devil delivered him. I'd say that was quite a few right there. Now, these are things that he has said and is being taught in his Bible college. Okay, over here.
1 Corinthians chapter 8, Apostle Paul discussed the subject of idol worship, which at that time was demon worship.
Same thing today.
He makes the remark that the presence of the symbols, for instance, the meat, the offer to God, and the very presence of the believer, even in the temple life, were not defiled to the believer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little concerned about the statement you made that the presence of an ungodly symbol in the life of a believer is defiling. Paul clearly says the symbols of idol worship and demon worship in his age are not defiling for the believer, only defiling the conscience if he was felt guilty for practicing in that particular
place. All right, we're not under the law. We're under grace. First to admit it. And Paul is talking about grace, mercy, and law, and so on. Now, I would never place myself under law because one thing I learned in witchcraft was that all of the devil's power was through the law and that he was defeated by grace. But he is our accuser, okay? People get very hostile to me when I say that according to a Christian's life depends. They're not immune from a witch casting a spell on them or demonic influence in their life just because they're a Christian. That's not a cure-all. I sum it up, but most people don't understand what I mean when I say it. There are Christians that have accepted Jesus as Savior, and there are Christians that have accepted Him as Lord. Okay? Oh, by the way, I wanted to add, it just struck my mind, Ralph Wilkerson also teaches that Satan and Jesus have been united. Okay? Now, the thing here about these symbols is it's like the Word of God. The Word of God, and I think that everybody will accept it here, unless, of course, you went to Melody Land, that the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit through men, okay? That it wasn't created by man. Man didn't sit down and think it up. Any person with any intelligence can know it couldn't have been put together the way it was put together with man's intelligence. You couldn't do it with a computer. Next, this was drawn by the devil's instruction. This isn't meat that was sacrificed to idols that came out of a thing. This was something that the devil said, do, okay? This has power. Most people don't realize how much power. Should have been a witch, then you know how much power. This has power to it because of the words that are in it and the power of those words. It has power. Now, we have found this very extensively. That's why some of the other translations are so bad, because they have stripped the power out of it. Now, this jewelry was inspired by the devil, and all I can tell you is what I have seen, and that is that I have seen two things. That at a council meeting of the 13, it was decided that above all, more powerful than rock music, more powerful than Christians owning books and astrology charts and Ouija boards, was to place this in their hands. All I can tell you is that demons follow this. They're not going to follow the slice of pork sacrificed to an idol, but they're going to follow the idol. I'm getting to it. I'm trying to lay the groundwork. I can't just jump into it. Now, let's take the two Christians. A person totally serving Jesus Christ as Lord is not going to have him in his life anyway. And that's where it lies. A Christian that's living... That's assuming he knows. Okay, what happens when he knows? Okay, whether they do or not, all right? I think that Jesus stops being the Lord of your life when you know this and keep it. I mean, you're not going to set up in your house an altar just because it's safe to go into a pagan temple with a statue of Satan. Okay, so you're not going to set this stuff up. When you know you're going to get rid of it, that's the idea. Okay? If it was harmless to lordship Christians, I'd shut my mouth and let it go and keep the heat off my back. Everything I say in meetings is controversial one way or the other. You know, I could be a good minister. I could be another Billy Graham if I watched what I said. I just can't announce to do it. It's not jewelry. The trick is jewelry. It's not the symbol. It's when it's cast in jewelry that it holds its power. Okay? Okay. Yeah. Well, they belong to the same bank. They belong, okay, Prudential, Chase Manhattan owns Prudential. Actually, Lords of London owns most of the insurance companies in the United States, and Lords of London owns Chase Manhattan, okay? So it's a chain. Allstate's owned by Sears, which is owned by Federal Department Stores, okay? I mean, you can, when you study conglomerates, you'll find out there's four conglomerates in the world and everything's owned by them. It doesn't matter what it's, who they say owns them. It's who really owns who owns them. Okay? I think you'll get the message. I know you got your hand. Let me ask other people. If you've asked a question, hold it off and let me get some of the others. Yes.
I'm a bit concerned about what you said. My concern is that if a Christian has eternal life, the Lord says, and he receives that sign in the next year and a half or two, however it is, by a credit card or jewelry, whatever you may call it, he said there's movement that he's lost. And this confuses me because I understand that a Christian has eternal life, he can never be lost. And so I want to have to stand on eternal security, because if eternal life is anything, it's eternal. And you don't get lost by a sign or something else to say. So I'm going to put it in position. You believe eternal security, you believe.
Okay, I believe in eternal security. I believe in everything that I believe in for reasons that I see. Okay? I came to believe in eternal security in a very real manner because I believe in demon possession and demons in Christians' lives, and I've seen hundreds and thousands, actually thousands of people that have been Christians originally go into witchcraft, and no matter what they did, they couldn't be possessed. That convinced me right on the line. It may not mean anything to you, but it meant to me. No, I believe in eternal security. But I have a question for you. What happens if a Christian blasphemes the Holy Ghost?
Well, we get into a discussion of what.
Yes, we will.
My question is, though, is the person lost after he's saved and he received that sign?
Well, that's a good question. Oh, yeah, I said it. I believe in eternal security, but I believe that if you knowingly blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're lost. I believe that's what the Bible says, too.
Now, you're saying that blaspheming the Holy Spirit, people back in Jesus' time were able to do that. They didn't have that sign. Or was that blaspheming the Holy Ghost
when
Christ was
here
on earth?
Blaspheming the Holy Ghost can come in many ways. When you sit there and you take a sign that the Bible has said, now remember, we're not talking about the lost who might take it ignorantly. We're talking about the Christian who knows all the way through the Word of God that taking that is rejecting God. And rejecting God is blaspheming the Holy Spirit when you reject Him knowingly.
I think you're going to answer that, and I'll shut up. If a person has received Christ and has eternal life,
I answered you.
He cannot blame God as a divine, because he can't have Christ in the Savior who blasphemes God and
rejects
Him and be lost.
He can't.
That thing he's lost and saved at the same time. One person can't.
You're quoting one scripture and I'm quoting the other. It's something you've got to decide. The Bible says that if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you're lost.
So don't forget it. But if a person is saved, he's already forgiven, and the blood of Christ is cleansed from all sin. He is forgiven. So it's obvious
that
Christians can't be lost if
you're saved. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that a Christian can sin?
Absolutely. But he's had his sin paid for on the cross.
Sure, but if he can sin, he may not be lost, But does he have to ask for forgiveness of the sin that he's committed after he's saved?
All sins are forgiven.
Does, if you sin after you have had your sins washed away, do you have to repent of the sin you've committed?
All my sins.
I asked you a question. Do you have to repent of that sin?
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know. That's not the Word of God. Right here.
Is the Mooney movement connected with the Illuminati? The Moonies and the Krishners and the Way were all created for one purpose, and that was to pass the Genocide Act. Because when the Genocide Act was first tried to pass, the Christians fought it. This time it's being passed because the Southern Baptist Church and BJ and other places are backing it to stop the Moonies. And I don't know if they realize what it really means. It means that the same thing can be done to a Christian. Okay? Yes.
What
spiritualism?
Spiritualism?
Have you read? All right. How much do you know about this book? Okay, I believe it. And I'm not making fun of you. I'm going to use it to answer your question.
No, hold.
Wait a minute. Now let me say something here. Because somebody says they believe in God, big deal. The devils do too. They know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No, the Bible through and through, particularly Deuteronomy 18, forbids spiritualism, consulting of familiar spirits and demons, consulting of mediums. And it says in Revelation that these people shall have their part in the lake and fire, and before the blood covenant, it was punishable by stoning and death. All right? In fact, the only time that I ever know, and boy, was the witch surprise, that the real person ever came back and communicated was when Samuel came back and talked to Saul, and the witch was so surprised that the real Samuel showed up that she ran out of the place. Okay? No. Now, the spiritualist church is called the Christian Spiritualist Church of America. They believe in God, but their teaching is not the Word of God. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. They believe in reincarnation. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in demons. I mean, there are over and over, they don't believe in salvation, repentance, born again, nothing. Now, no. Some time back, about 70, 80 years ago, I guess it was, maybe even longer, it was before the turn of the century. Well, that's about 70, 80 years. The Illuminati decided that not everybody would ever worship witchcraft. So they pulled four of the major beliefs out of witchcraft. Spiritualism, okay, which created psychic killing, okay, and many other supposedly sign gifts and so on that were counterfeits. They created astrology separate. That's when astrology started picking up. They created yoga, or TM, transcendental meditation, which was astral projection, and they created psychic powers of ESP and so on, okay, and controlling somebody with your mind. They call it parapsychology, telekinesis, and so on, which is the same thing as casting a spell. So they, this way, by giving it scientific names, but evidently the professors at the Parapsychology Institute at Duke University never read Acts 16:16, where it said that a person with this power had demons, and when the demon was cast out, they lost their power. That would blow their philosophies out the window. But, it's definitely of the devil. Okay? Back here in the blue. Oh, go ahead. No, it's all right. Ma'am, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's appearing just like that. Yeah, it's appearing just like that. In fact, in Jerusalem, almost all of the license plates begin with 666. What? This right here appears. It is on the card. I've seen a copy of it. That's what I said a while ago. It is. That's why it's so funny that supposedly a born-again Christian said, I designed the card and put that on there. Mm. Right here. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask the best question that I may not have been asked.
You won't be the first.
Is there still a council of 13 that mm-hmm. Did you have any knowledge of some of big Christian leaders
run
up in this.
You want the Baptist to get me now, huh?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, quite a few. Let me say something. Have you ever noticed the bigger you get, the less fundamental you get? Now, there's an exception to that. In the occult, I didn't have any heroes. Now, I like John Wayne. You know, I don't know any better. No, my heroes are heroes that were enemies to us when I was in the occult. The most feared man in the world is a Baptist fundamental preacher by the name of Jack Howe. He is the most feared person. In fact, barely a month went by that man's name didn't come up in some way.
Why?
by several doctrines he preaches, on armed Christians, for one, preparing for the end times, the Christians will see trouble before the rapture, the requirement of Christian retreat, the separation of the Christian from the world, that really scares the Illuminati. The Christian, when he starts becoming separated from the world, and when a man teaches the Lordship of Christ, that causes that. And they're scared of that, because that is an enemy they can't reach. They're sold out. Okay? That's the main reason. Also, he teaches on the Illuminati and other things. And he teaches it the way it really exists, not the way somebody in Macon, Georgia said. Yes? Smith? I don't know his first name. I never met him after that night. Oh, he was talking about on my testimony. In my testimony, I talked about the Baptist minister who prayed and fasted and ordered the demons to be silent and not have any activity in my life so I was saved. Now, all I know is his name was Smith. I don't even know his first name. He pastored a little Southern Baptist church over by the Air Force Base. But that's all I know. Okay? Yes, I'll go.
When were you saved, exactly what do you believe that you mean?
Okay. I was born again, which is what I believe it is. Completely a new person. Let me explain what born again is first. I'm tired of people saying they're born again and not.
Amen.
Oh, I like those amens. Born again is two things. One, it is the complete change of your life. If you are not a changed creature, you are not born again.
Amen.
And the only way to be a changed creature is through repentance. That doesn't mean that you are perfect and that you will not sin and that you will not need continual forgiveness. It is unscripture for anyone to believe otherwise. Second, the fruit of the Spirit will be present in your life if you are a Lordship Christian. Now, see, these Christians that are knowing just as Savior, I won't deny their salvation. I may frown upon it a little. I can't believe that a person can be a born-again Christian and not sell out to Jesus. But it seems to be done a lot. But I do know that where He is Lord of your life, the fruit of the Spirit will be. Now, that happened to me on May 1st. I'm sorry, May 1st, I got May 1st on the brain tonight. Happened to me on Labor Day, 1972 in San Antonio, Texas. Now, all my problems weren't solved that night, and I was born again, and I was changed,